Welcome to the Plant Centered and Thriving Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kitchens. I'm a plant-based registered dietitian and virtual nutrition mentor. I was raised on an Angus cattle farm, grew up with a lot of GI issues, and used the power of plant-based eating to promote healing. Here you'll find inspiration, ideas, and encouragement for your own plant-based journey. I'm so thrilled you're here today. Let's get started. Welcome to the podcast. I am so grateful you're here today. And I'm here today with Catherine, who is also a registered dietitian, and she has her master's in human nutrition. And she's also a plant-based enthusiast, and she's been vegan since 2009. So she's here to share her story and just all these great things. And if you don't follow Catherine on Instagram, she is plant-based RD on Instagram, and you have to go give her a follow along with looking at her blog, which is full of recipes, which we're going to talk even more about. So welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited. This is like my second podcast, so I'm just really amped up.
Awesome. Yes. Oh man, I'm so glad you're here then. That's so exciting. So Catherine, I'm curious if, so you've been vegan since 2009, but kind of take us back to before 2009, what sort of led you up to transitioning or even being curious about going vegan?
At least prior to becoming vegan, I had probably like one of the worst patterns of eating that you could imagine. Like, it was not pretty. Like, I would eat a whole sleeve of like chocolate chip cookies. I would have probably like very unbalanced plates in general, lots and lots of just like fried food. It was not until like my parents were diagnosed with like different chronic diseases that I started becoming a little bit more concerned about my own health and also their health. And that led me to kind of, you know, looking at different avenues for, you know, how I can potentially transform my health and wellness. At that time, I started doing just kind of basic things that most people do when they first kind of enter the health and wellness space. And that is to kind of like follow all these like gimmicky fad diets. And, you know, I definitely tried to kind of follow these like crazy workout plans and things like that. And eventually I kind of turned a leaf and was like, okay, this doesn't make sense. It's not really working for me. It's very hard to stick to. Like, I would kind of bounce around from like one plan to the next. And eventually I was like, all right, let me actually look at the literature, because at the time I was getting my bachelor of science in biology. So I was like, you know, very science minded. So I was like, all right, let me kind of look at the evidence and see what's actually going to make more sense. So within one of my first deep dives, I found some information about plant-based nutrition and was very intrigued. So I read a bunch of different books. I looked at like primary literature, and I was very, very kind of interested in looking at this more seriously. So I definitely started this path more from like a health perspective. And then pretty much like overnight, I changed my entire diet. Now, that's not something I recommend to all my clients. I actually recommend the opposite. Not that I don't think that other people can do it, but more so, it can be very challenging just to kind of swap your mindset one day to the next. And at the time, like, I was totally okay. I was totally invested, especially after all the information I found. And I started to kind of like incorporate all the vegan versions of things that I was eating and, you know, kind of trying to incorporate like more vegetables, doing, you know, mostly like plant-based proteins. Like, I was trying to keep it as balanced as possible. And that was where I saw like the most benefit health-wise for myself. I started feeling less achy. I was, you know, definitely having probably like the best fitness level of my life at that point too. And I just felt better. And that led me to kind of want to stick to it long term. So been able to maintain this. Like, I haven't had any issues. I think mostly because I studied it very heavily before I made the overnight switch. And I think that's a very big and important piece with that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because it sounds like you were very, very clear on your why, like why you were transitioning, you know, your parents were having health issues, even yourself after you went plant or vegan, you noticed that there was this difference in how you were feeling. And so your why was so strong, which has allowed you since 2009 to continue veganism without feeling like you're missing out or depriving yourself of anything as well.
Yeah, I think just having that like really strong, desire to kind of continue. And then on top of that, as I stayed vegan years and years, my why has gotten stronger. So I feel like, outside of the health, while, that was at least my personal reason for going vegan, now I have like so many other reasons to stay vegan, between like environmental reasons, animal rights, like all these different avenues that I have come to, find and really enjoy learning about these different things and reasons as to keeping to the plant-based path. Like that has definitely made this transition and staying on this path the easiest for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. And whether you're transitioning right now or whether you're completely plant-based or vegan, it's interesting. Like what Catherine said, it's like whatever reason you decide to transition, the layers, once you're in it, the layers start being pulled back of like more and more reasons as to why it's like beneficial to stay this way. You just learn about so many other avenues as to why it's beneficial, which I think is very impactful as well. And like you said, strengthens that why to like just keep adding fuel to the fire and you're just continuing to go without it really being a second thought.
Yes, oh, for sure.
I liked what you said too, Catherine, about kind of when you were searching out how to like feel better, like, you know, your parents were having health issues and you're like, okay, well, I need to do something too. I like that you were also transparent. I think a lot of us kind of fall into this of like kind of looking for quick fixes or something more immediate of like, okay, well, how can I fix this now? And whether you try it just a few times, or I know some people listening have been kind of on that path for decades of flip-flopping back and forth between quick fixes and fad diets and things like that. And I like that you were transparent in saying that. And also too, that you kind of found a way, a lifestyle that fit well into your life and was like sustainable for you.
Oh, yeah. I think that was also another very important part, too, is that at least for me, I'm very, I would say, independent. Like, while my family didn't necessarily like jump on the vegan bandwagon, initially, at least like for me, my reasoning was so strong that I was just kind of like, regardless of what's going on around me, just going to kind of stick this path. And I was very fortunate to have that mindset because I know for a lot of people, it's not easy to kind of formulate that, reasoning or even just kind of feel like they have the support or even just like the environment to do, this type of lifestyle. So I always tell people, do what's realistic for you instead of feeling like you have to kind of copy someone else's journey because that never works.
Yes. Yep, amen to that. It is. It's really important too, because everyone's family, everyone's environment is different when you're transitioning to vegan or plant-based. And so figuring out what is going to work best for you is of utmost importance, absolutely. Because that way it is attainable and it is something that you can sustain long term. But I'm curious for you, Catherine, how was it transitioning? Or I obviously you kind of, you know, went overnight, but you know, did you get much feedback from your family like, oh my gosh, you know, Catherine, this is extreme. Like, why would you be doing this? You know, kind of how was that, those conversations?
It was very tough, mostly because both sides of my family, they are of Latin background. So like my dad's side of the family is Mexican, my mom's side of the family is Dominican, and at least Dominican cuisine now is not always focused on plant-based eating. Like even like one of the main dishes for breakfast, for example, it's kind of very like heavy on like fried cheese, fried salami, like all of these things that were at least like for me hard to kind of figure out, okay, how culturally can I stick to, what I'm doing and what I'm passionate about without kind of hurting my family's feelings? Because especially for my mom, when I told her that I wasn't eating meat, she was very confused. She thought I was like doing an organic diet. Like that's what she thought it was. And I was like, no, I don't eat like any animal products, but there's really not a clear way to communicate that sometimes with, especially like with a language barrier. Like my mom speaks, you know, full Spanish, but I don't know it fluently. Like I can say certain things. So I have to kind of be very thoughtful as to like how I explain different things to her, because even as the journey progressed, you know, she would buy something for me and she'd be very proud. Like she would buy me like, you know, vegetarian chicken nuggets. And then I'd realize, like, I'd look at the ingredients, they have like egg whites or something in there. And I'd be like, oh, thank you so much, mom. But
yeah,
the right thing. So it was hard to kind of get her to understand it at first. And then there was also like issues with like family events, because when we have like big gatherings, they're huge. And having to kind of explain it to all my aunts and uncles, like, they were just like, why are you doing this? Like, even I think one of my first Thanksgiving dinners, my family was very just like staring at me like, you brought your own food kind of situation. I was like, yes, I did. And I tried to like explain, like, I don't care what you're eating, but you know, for me, you know, it's very important for me to kind of stick to this lifestyle. And luckily, like my cousins were there, like they kind of understand the whole veganism thing, and they were able to explain it to, you know, my aunts and uncles. But yeah, it was very challenging at first. And, you know, if you can stick through that and you can explain yourself and just not be judgmental of others, it usually helps to kind of make the, I guess, like connection a little bit stronger with family and not make them kind of think that you're like the weirdo, you know. Usually they start to learn like some respect and boundaries and stuff like that over time.
Yep. That's a really good point too. If you're in a situation or a space where you can be open and honest and just try to convey why it is you're doing what you're doing, that can go a really long way, especially for family and friends who are genuinely, you know, genuinely support you and your health and, you know, all those types of things. I think that's a really good point as well, to be just transparent about what you're doing, especially if they're coming from a place of like genuine curiosity and wanting to know, why the heck are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Usually it's curiosity. It's never any, like anything harmful. Like I know I've heard stories of different people having different experiences, but a lot of times like people just have that genuine thought of like, oh my gosh, am I doing something wrong? Is that why she decided to change? And that's not always the story. Like most people are just genuinely kind of surprised, and they're looking at, you know, ways to cope with the new change in like environment or situation that's presented to them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So it sounds like you've found a way, and or maybe you can answer the question of like also eating vegan and also honoring your culture and like the history there. I mean, how has that sort of like merged together now that you're 11, 12 years into this journey? How do you feel like that's gone as you've become probably way more proficient than you were back in 2009?
Yes, it's definitely gotten a lot easier. Pretty much what I did, especially along the journey, was kind of watch what my mom was doing in the kitchen. And luckily, a lot of dishes that she would prepare naturally as I was growing up, they were very easy to modify to vegan or might have already been vegan. So like, for example, my mom makes habichuelas, which is kind of stewed beans, and they are probably like the best beans that I've ever eaten. So like I've eaten beans for a long time. So that part made the transition to vegan really easy. I watched like how she would prepare them, and there were pretty much like one or two modifications that you would have to make. And those were very easy to find, like, you know, a way around. So I've been able to kind of transform a lot of those dishes into veganized versions, and they taste just as good. And, you know, if anything, I'm always very proud, like when one of my family members, if they like try something that I've made and they're like, wow, this is really good. And then I can tell them, you know, if they ask like, wait, but you can't eat this. I'm like, yes, I can, because it's vegan. Like that part always makes me so happy.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I feel like when a family member says, wow, this is really good, that's just like gold star on like what you just said. It's like, yes, you know, that's really awesome. So with this transition too, I'm curious, because I know some people experience, some people don't. Did any of your family, are they more, you know, geared towards veganism or plant-based eating, or, you know, has your journey maybe kind of been a catalyst for anyone else in your family?
Yeah, if anything, I would say, so my sister, she decided to become vegetarian for animal reasons. So at least like for her, she did kind of take what, you know, I did, at least like on my journey, and she made the transition herself. My other family members, while they aren't vegan, they are definitely more plant forward than they were before. So they try a lot of the plant-based dishes that I make, you know, they've definitely increased like their vegetable consumption. So that part makes me really happy. And even just like a lot of the other people that I've interacted with, when they become curious about what I'm doing, I'll kind of explain to them what I might be eating, or I might bring a dish to like, let's say a barbecue or a potluck or something like that. And usually that's like the first thing to go. And that's not me boasting about like my recipes or anything, but more so like, I feel like whenever someone that's vegan goes to an event and they bring a vegan dish, like everyone just goes to that first. And that's like the first thing that always is gone, even though you might've just brought that initially just for yourself so that you had something to eat. And then you realize, oh, I should have probably brought more. So.
Yep. And speaking of, if you're looking for ideas to bring to whatever, a barbecue or a family event, definitely go to Catherine's blog, because she has so many amazing recipes there. And the photos are so beautiful. So you're like, oh yes, like this is also going to look beautiful and it's going to taste so delicious. So definitely check that out, because it's full of ideas for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of speaking of that too, how did you, as you were on this journey, kind of spark this idea to start plant-based RD? Because your Instagram, I mean, Catherine has over 300,000 followers. It's like in the recipes, the photos, they're beautiful. So how did that sort of transpire as well?
Yeah. So I actually have been on Instagram for a long time, but when I first started, I hardly used it. Like I maybe opened it more so to kind of follow friends and family and just kind of see what they're doing. And then one day it was a snowstorm. So I was stuck at home and I was kind of interested because I was like seeing different users on Instagram, like posting these beautiful, you know, bowls. And, you know, this is like the time where everyone had like the most gorgeous, like Buddha bowls and stuff like that online. And I remember when I was looking at those, I was like, I could do that. And then I made my first bowl and I posted my first image on Instagram and I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. Like, this is like the worst composition ever. Like I sometimes go back to some of my really early posts because I haven't deleted anything from Instagram since I started, but I'll go back to those and I'm just like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking back then? But originally, like I just posted it for fun. Like I just used it as an outlet. And then I got featured on, I forget which platform, but one of them featured me on Instagram. And all of a sudden I started getting some followers and I was like, oh, this is interesting. So I kept kind of playing around with different recipes and sharing them. Originally, I just like shared the photo. I didn't share the recipe. And then I realized like, as soon as I started putting the recipe in the caption, like I got more engagement. I saw more people kind of, you know, I guess like starting to get curious, and like it kind of blew up overnight. And I was just kind of like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And then, you know, eventually it got to a point where I was sharing like breakfast, lunch, dinner ideas. And I had so many ideas like written down on Instagram. And I was like, I need to put this in a space that is easy to catalog, essentially, because it got to a point where if someone asked me like, oh, you posted this like a while ago, do you still have the recipe? Like I have to go through thousands of posts. I was like, I can't keep doing this. So that's where I started my blog on the side and kind of like slowly started taking the recipes that I knew did really well and just kind of putting them in a spot where people could easily access it.
That's amazing. And then it is what it is today, which is incredible. You have this, you know, beautiful full of gorgeous photos and recipes on Instagram and also too on your blog. So it's like you said, you can kind of go to your blog and not only get recipes, but I know that you have a lot of other things like articles and you're doing more vegan nutrition related stuff. So it's just a wealth of information, whether you're looking for more evidence-based information or even just, you know, want to make a freaking delicious recipe to bring to a barbecue.
Yes, that part is really exciting about what kind of sets my Instagram apart from others is that, well, yes, you can get really great recipes and things like that. At the same time, I personally wanted to make my space a protected space that shares evidence-based nutrition and makes people feel comfortable about making a transition. Because when I first started and I saw some of the advice going around on Instagram or just like other social media platforms, it's very like, it gets to me because I'm just like so passionate about telling the truth about like, you know, nutrition. And I want to make sure that people have the correct information because people will, you know, potentially fall off from the bandwagon and they might have that desire of not ever coming back to this type of lifestyle. And I feel like it's so important to kind of provide information that's correct. So that way people are doing this the correct way. And then they don't, you know, develop issues or problems, or they know, hey, if I am having a problem, I should speak to a dietitian and not speak to Google.
Because yes.
That usually creates a big, big issue for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that's great too. The more that, you know, we as dietitians, plant-based dietitians can provide evidence-based nutrition information, it is such a difference because there is, like you were saying, just so much misinformation out there. It can just get confusing. And like you said, someone might try it and be like, whoa, there's no way I can do this because, you know, of X, Y, Z. But if you work with a dietitian or if you approach it in a way that is something that you can do long-term, then it can be a really beautiful thing. Because one thing that we do know is that plant-based eating, vegan eating, like it's something that is appropriate for all stages of life. So it's just, it's a great way of eating that you can really thrive on.
Yeah. And I think I always make a point to highlight that, especially for those that might be kind of on the fence or they're, you know, thinking, oh, well, this might only work for a year or two. And it's like, no, this can, you know, be a positive experience throughout the life cycle. And while I haven't been vegan all of my life, like there are vegans that have been vegan, like since their birth. And you know, while there might not be many of those, like it's definitely a sign to show like, hey, it's definitely possible. And, you know, it can be sustainable at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So with transitioning, and if you could even go back and tell yourself a piece of advice, or even something that you tell your clients as they're transitioning, you know, one thing you did say is that you went overnight, and it's not typically something you recommend maybe for clients, but what's like maybe like the main piece of advice that you tell people as they're transitioning, or you would even go back and tell yourself?
Yeah, I would say don't aim for perfection because it doesn't exist. I think that is probably the most important thing that I've learned along the journey, because I know while yes, all my intentions have always been vegan, there are things that unfortunately are just kind of out of your control, and we don't live in a vegan world, at least yet, hopefully.
Yes.
But you know, at least when it comes to perfection, I know that that can oftentimes bog people down and make them feel bad if, like, for example, if someone gives you something accidentally and they say, oh yes, this is vegan, and then you find out later like, oh, it actually was not vegan, like that does not revoke your vegan card or anything like that. It always makes any of us feel bad when we don't do something 100%. But at the same time, I think if you want to really thrive on this lifestyle, it's realizing like, hey, not every situation is going to be perfect. You have to try and make the best of it and learn from it, right? Like that's, I think, the beauty of life in general is that there's always a learning opportunity. And if you give yourself an opportunity to learn versus getting frustrated, you will become, you know, a better version of yourself down the road. So don't let perfection limit you right now.
Yes, I completely agree. Thinking about it as, like you said, a journey and not focusing on perfection, again, makes this lifestyle so much more fun and enjoyable. Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned the, you know, we don't live in a vegan world yet, which is great. I mean, it kind of gives you permission in a way that there are going to be situations where things happen. I can't count the amount of times that someone has fed me something that was not vegan. And I'm like, oh man, but you just have to like, you just move on. You know, like you said, we can't control everything. So I appreciate that. Catherine, thank you so much for being here, sharing your wisdom, sharing just your amazing journey. And I really appreciate your insights here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always really interesting to kind of go back into the history of how things kind of started for me. So I'm really glad to kind of recap that with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So if people want to reach out, connect with you, where are a couple places that would be best for them to do that?
Yeah, so Instagram is probably a really good spot to start off with. I'm PlantBasedRD on Instagram. That's where everything kind of started for me. And probably newer to the game would be my blog. So I have plantbasedrdblog.com. I share all my recipes, more detailed information and tips, you know, to make sure that those recipes come out good. And then the last thing is that I do articles and things like that there. So if you would like to read some of those pieces, they're on the blog as well. I'm going to be adding some more, especially now that I'm doing plant-based RD full time. So expect some new and exciting information to pop up on the blog very soon.
Yay. Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah, definitely go check out Catherine on Instagram and just go read through her blog. Cause like she said, she's very science minded. So she has just a great balance of beautiful recipes and also some evidence-based nutrition information in there as well. All right, Catherine, well, thank you again for being here. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Plant Centered and Thriving podcast today. If you found this episode inspiring, please share it with a friend or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally say thank you. Until next time, keep thriving.